We'd like to capture your minds right now. Take you a little bit higher.
This is Indie Media on Air for the week of March 26, 2007. I'm Bronwyn Malden with the Los Angeles Independent Media Center. Today we have the second part in a two-part series looking at the peace process in Northern Ireland. It's been 9 years since the Good Friday Peace Accords were signed and 5 years since the last power-sharing government in Northern Ireland was suspended. Elections for the Northern Ireland Assembly were held earlier this month. And today was a very important deadline for getting back to a local power-sharing government with both Republicans and Unionists participating. To help us understand what's happening in Northern Ireland today, we have in the studio with us Roy McCann. He's Public Relations Officer for Irish Northern Aid, if I got that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, Irish Northern Aid. Irish Northern Aid is an American-based group that supports the establishment of a democratic 32-county Ireland. And Roy was born and raised in Belfast, and he now lives here in Southern California. Roy, welcome to Indie Media on Air.
It's great to be here.
Great, glad to have you here. Also in the studio today, we have Lisa Elaine Scott. Lisa is an independent journalist and longtime activist here in Los Angeles whose work has appeared in the Irish Herald and also in Music Connection magazine. She's the director of two documentary films, Under Three Strikes and The Ultimate Song, and she has her own media production company, Street Level Productions. And Lisa recently traveled to Northern Ireland to do research and interviews, and she produced the radio documentary we heard last week on Indie Media on Air, and it was called Peace and Politics in Northern Ireland. And Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Great. It is a little after 3 o'clock here on the west coast of the United States, which means it is 11 p.m. in Belfast right now, and a lot has happened today. In just a moment, we're going to speak to a member of the Northern Ireland Legislative Assembly. But first, Roy, can I get you to explain exactly what was today's deadline? What was that about?
Well, today, the leading parties in the north of Ireland, the Unionist Democratic Unionist Party, led by Ian Paisley, and the Republican Party, Sinn Féin, led by Gerry Adams, they were to nominate the first and deputy first ministers, thereby triggering devolved government in the north of Ireland. Now, failure to do so meant that the Assembly would be dissolved and Plan B would be implemented. Now, Plan B was never laid out in terms, but effectively meant that the British and Irish governments would administer government in the north of Ireland if the parties failed to take up the opportunity presented to them as a result of the St Andrews Agreement. The DUP, in effect, asked for more time, and they refused to nominate the minister. And to do so, they had to ask Sinn Féin, or Sinn Féin actually demanded that they talk to them face to face, something that they have not done so throughout the history of the conflict. They agreed to meet. They did meet, and today they did agree to set up government on May the 8th.
So today was pretty much a drop dead deadline.
British government have set drop-dead deadlines before. I think Ian Paisley was hoping that this time he could wing his way past it, and perhaps they would satisfy his prevarication. This time they seem to stand strong and say that there would be no special legislation brought in to delay the dissolution of the Assembly. And they made it quite plain to him. So they said if they could come up with a third way, that then, only then, with the agreement of all the other parties, they may bring in special legislation, and that is what has been agreed.
Okay. Well, let's turn now to Belfast. And we've got on the phone right now Paul Maskey. Paul was elected to the Northern Ireland Assembly earlier this month, representing West Belfast. He's with Sinn Féin. And, Paul, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So can you tell us, from your point of view in Belfast, what happened today?
I think today has been a very historic day in regards to the end of Ireland. I think when you see Ian Paisley, as Roy quite correctly points out, that Ian Paisley, who has refused all along for many, many years to ever sit down or be seen or actually even have a meeting with a member of Sinn Féin, has done so today. This has been beamed live around the world, and many people who are now living on the island of Ireland are actually delighted to see this day happening, because this is will allow us to move into the future. This will allow us to sort out all the problems that we have here in the north of Ireland, indeed on the island of Ireland, and this will allow us to move for the future and have a better, stable relationship from both sides of the community for all of our children within the island of Ireland.
So, Paul, you were elected to the Legislative Assembly, and there was some question going into today whether the Assembly was going to be meeting and whether you were going to have a paycheck.
That's correct. and we've had to, but we've been faced with this on many occasions in the past, and I think this is something that we've actually had to stand up and be very strong and to push the British and Irish governments to set deadlines, because first of all, it was Sinn Féin who actually asked the British and Irish government, if this election isn't up and running, if we have the election, sorry, and if the Assembly isn't up and running and we don't have power, and then all MLAs who are elected to the Assembly should be sacked. Because why should anybody be being paid for doing for not doing a job that they are paid to be doing? So it was actually Sinn Féin put that legislation down. Maybe other parties got afraid of that. Maybe they were afraid of not having their pay checks at the end of the day. So maybe that's why we're looking for. We're going to have an assembly up and running and be powering in government for ourselves within the next 6 weeks.
So what does that mean in terms of next steps? What should we expect to see happening in 6 weeks?
Well, between this next 6 weeks, you will see Sinn Féin and DUP sitting down on many occasions throughout this period, along with other parties, to make sure, because there is many, many issues affecting us within society. We have people who live in deprived areas and working class areas. We need to get their problems sorted out. We need to address the health and education problems the way every other society. But what we will be doing is we will be sitting down preparing for government. I think that's the main thing. We will be sitting in the same rooms with each other, talking and debating for and what programs would be called preparation for government programs, and I think that's very, very important, because when we are ready to run this country, for example, this part of the island, north of Ireland, we in 6 weeks will have been set down, we will have worked all it out, and hopefully come the 8th of May, we will be ready to hit the road running, because we will have worked through all these projects regarding government, and this is where we want to be doing, because it is very, very important that all parties in the north of Ireland sit down and work out collectively where we can go for the future, because it's what the people voted for on the 7th of March. People demanded that we sit down together and we work it out and we go into government, because all of our futures rely on Irish people govern Ireland for ourselves. Because what we don't want any longer is British direct rule ministers coming into the north of Ireland, maybe flying in for one day and then flying back to England again, trying to make all the decisions that affect us. They do not live here. They shouldn't be here. So it's better that Irish people actually start to govern their own country for ourselves.
And when I was looking on the internet earlier today, I saw an image of Ian Paisley and Gerry Adams. That's Ian Paisley of the DUP, Gerry Adams of Sinn Féin, sitting down together at a table in a room together and talking. Help me understand how important that image is.
Oh, that's a massive image. And to me, what I would have to say is that even because I have young children myself, that is a massive positive image that has been beamed all around the world through the internet and on live news channels as well. And I think that, to me, highlights the importance of Gerry Adams and Ian Paisley sitting around the table, because what we need to go for, that is the future. Ian Paisley isn't the youngest leader in the world, so he may be coming up to retirement age. But however, at the end of the day, he's made a courageous decision, what I believe. It's a decision that he should have took many, many years ago. But however, he has taken it now, and we need to work together so we can all move in together into the future together in a more positive way, in a much more positive manner.
Great. Well, Paul, thank you so much for being with us today. I know it's late where you are, so thanks for staying up and taking the time to talk to us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, and good luck to Roy.
Slán.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Paul. That was Paul Maskey. He was elected to the Northern Ireland Assembly earlier this month. He represents West Belfast, and he's with the Sinn Féin Party. So, Roy, let me turn to you. What's your reaction to today's events?
Well, as an Irish Republican, I'm not jumping up and down for joy. That day will come when we finally do get our independence, total independence, and see the reunification of the country. And we do have our United Ireland. I do share Paul's sense of history here, and it is a monumental decision. Ian Paisley, you know, it was once said, if the word no was removed from the English language, the man would be speechless. It was also, you know, it's amazing how far the man has come. Paul talked about the image, and you mentioned it yourself. What's more important is the image. This doesn't just send around the world, but what it's the image that he is sending to his own people, I think, and the mindsets that we often talk about, the unionists used to call for IRA decommissioning. And we used to say, well, you need to decommission the mindsets in Ireland. You know, guns are only used by people who have a mindset to use them. And what has to be decommissioned is the old mindsets. 12th of July last year, less than one year ago, Ian Paisley stood in front of a crowd and said, compromise, accommodation, and the word surrender are the road to final irrevocable disaster. No unionist who is a unionist will go into partnership with IRA Sinn Féin. They're not fit to be in partnership with decent people. They're not fit to be in the government of the North of Ireland, and it will be over our dead bodies that they'll ever get there.
That's strong words.
Strong words, and this is less than a year ago. So how far that man has come is monumental, and the image of him sitting today with his arch enemy, Gerry Adams, talking about the future on Ireland for our children. Well, that is the sense of history that you've got today.
Well, let's talk a little about history, because I want to put this into context, what's happened today. I remember a time when it seemed like Northern Ireland was in the news all the time, and it was what you would see was the aftermath of bombings and violence and shootings. And but we haven't seen a lot of that in the media. We don't see a lot of coverage of any kind of peace process or kind of the positive things that may have been happening in recent years. But let's go back a bit. I'm looking at a map of the British Isles sitting in front of me. And what I'm seeing is there's a really big island here, and it's got England and Scotland and Wales kind of all together. And off to the west of that is a smaller island, but it's divided in two. And the bottom part, the bigger part, is marked the Republic of Ireland. And then there's a section of it that's, I don't know, about a third or a quarter of the landmass there, and that's marked Northern Ireland. And what I'm particularly noticing here is that this part that's Republic of Ireland, that's one color, indicating that's a different country. And then everything that is Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, they are all another country, and they're the same color. So tell me how it is that we've gotten to this place where there's this tiny piece of an island that was Ireland, and it's the same color as the English part and not the same color as Ireland the map.
With respects, we would probably need a couple of hours to go through that. However, to summarize, Ireland was partitioned in 1921. And there was a limited form of independence granted to 26 counties, which became the Irish Free State. It was partitioned on a sectarian head count, and that was that Britain held on to the six northeastern counties because there was predominantly a unionist, and I have to say there is religious connotations, they were predominantly unionist from the Protestant faith. And Britain held on to that part of the north of Ireland because it was the industrial heartland, it was the economic boon of Ireland. And Britain carved up the island against the wishes of the majority of the Irish people to enable those unionists in the north of Ireland who supported British governments and give them a government in the north of Ireland. It was called a Protestant government for a Protestant people. Since 1921, there have been many insurrections. The Irish Republican Army have had many armed campaigns to try and reunite the country. Successfully been able to move this process along to where we have a semblance now where there will be some sort of all-Ireland bodies, not full independence, but the recognition now is that we have to make this Ireland that we are pressing for, this Ireland, it has to be a new Ireland, a modern Ireland, one which embraces all cultures, one that a person can feel British in if they want, an Irish in, and yet we've got to build a new Ireland where people's rights, entitlements, religious, cultural identities are protected. But we believe that the partition of Ireland is the root of all the conflicts which have been there since the island was first, since Britain first came to our country. And so it's these dynamics that are pressing forward, the peace process and the political process, to finally push for an Ireland where all identities are recognised.
Okay. Just a reminder to listeners, you're listening to Indie Media On Air on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and I'm talking to Roy McCann with Irish Northern Aid here in Southern California, also in the studio, Lisa Elaine Scott, filmmaker and activist. So what happened today, or what's going to happen in 6 weeks from today, is not that those two pieces of the island are going to suddenly become one of Ireland. There's still going to be two separate governments, but Northern Ireland will have its own government separate from the British government. Am I understanding that right?
Correct. It's kind of like what Scotland and Wales have evolved, and now there is a devolved assembly in each of those countries. The Northern Irish assembly will be set up, and it will be people born in the north of Ireland who are making decisions for the people of the north of Ireland. Paul alluded to the arrogant British ministers who fly in for a day and they lay down the law on behalf of Westminster and then they take off. And they don't care about the day and daily trials and tribulations of the people living there. So the emphasis has to be try and get the institutions up in the north of Ireland. But for niceness and Republicans like myself, the overriding factor is that there is an all-Ireland dimension to this, that there are 12 areas of cooperation, that there is a council set up to deal with these. And the hope is from Republicans is that with unionists being drawn into the scene, that there is no fear, there is economic benefits here for the whole island. We're a small island of 5 million people. We need to use the resources on the island. It makes common sense. Like you say, look at the map. We are separate and distinct from Britain. Maggie Thatcher once tried to say we're as British as Finchley. The hunger strikers proved that wrong. We're not as British as Finchley. And the very fact that the Democratic Unionist Party now are calling for the same tax rate in the north as exists in the south shows we're not as British as Finchley. So our hope is that these old Ireland bodies, the island working together in harmony, cultural and religious, as I say, identities being protected, that there will be an evolution towards a united Ireland. It makes more sense. Pull down the borders, pull down the mindsets, pull down the things that have divided us in the past.
All right. Now I want to go back and hear a few voices from Belfast, some official voices, some official statements that were made earlier today. We've got a recording, an excerpt of a statement from Ian Paisley. He's with the Democratic Unionist Party. Those are the folks who, Roy, am I got this right? They want to remain a part of, want Northern Ireland to remain a part of Britain.
Sure.
So let's hear what Ian Paisley had to say earlier today.
Our goal has been to see devolution returned in a context where it can make a real and meaningful improvement in the lives of all the people of this part of the United Kingdom. On the 7th of March, the Unionist community gave us a mandate to deliver on our pledges. On Saturday, the DUP executive overwhelmingly endorsed a motion committing our party to support and participate fully in government in May of this year. This is a binding resolution. In the past, the government has set arbitrary deadlines, but now, as laid out in our resolution, we as a party have agreed the timing, the setting up of and the working of the institutions of government. Today we have agreed with Sinn Féin that this date will be Tuesday, the 8th of May, 2007. As the largest party in Northern Ireland in the political field, we are committed to playing a full part in all the institutions and delivering the best future for all of the people of Northern Ireland.
Well, Roy, what do you say to that?
That's very encouraging words. As I said to you before, to hear them coming from Ian Paisley is it's tremendous that he is finally, you know, he's on the road to Damascus, I would say. He's 80 years old and he's finally on the road to Damascus. But we must move away from the squabbles of the past. You know, the Irish Republican Army have been on ceasefire since 1996. They decommissioned their weaponry. People have moved on. We're leaving a legacy here. We're talking about building a legacy, a new Ireland, where people can feel free to work, to, again, profess their cultural and identities and go and live a life which is what the rest of the world is able to offer. One of peace, freedom and democracy. And it's about time that Ian Paisley joined the rest of us in building that new Ireland.
All right. Now let's turn to Gerry Adams and hear what he had to say also earlier today.
The relationships between the people of this island have been marred by centuries of discord, conflict, hurt and tragedy. In particular, this has been the sad history of Orange and Green. Acta tus moi tus nua on anish the Kojije. Now there's a new start with the help of God. Sinn Féin is about building a new relationship between Orange and Green and all the other colours, where every citizen can share and have equality of ownership of a peaceful, prosperous and just future. There are still many challenges, there are still many difficulties to be faced, but let us be clear. The basis of the agreement between Sinn Féin and the DUP follows Ian Paisley's unequivocal and welcome commitment to support and participate fully in the political institutions on May the 8th.
Roy, that was Gerry Adams. He's with Sinn Féin. And he used the phrase orange and green.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that briefly?
The orange is best known from the Orange Order, which was established in response to the United Irishmen, who were actually, ironically, led by a Presbyterian named Wolfe Tone, and they were a band which sought to break the link with Britain. And the Orange Order was set up to protect Protestant and British interests in the north of Ireland. The conflict between Orange and Green has been a symptom of British rule in Ireland. The sectarian conflict has been carefully fostered by Britain to maintain their influence in Ireland. And yet now, when the British in 1984 said they no longer had any strategic interest in the north of Ireland, we are left with the Orange and Green resolution of that ancient conflict. So these are what Gerry Adams is addressing. We must find common cause. We share this island, we share this tiny bit of the north of Ireland, and we must come to agreement on how we can get beyond the old sectarian barriers and build a new country in which our children can prosper in.
All right. I want to bring Lisa Elaine Scott into our conversation. Lisa, you recently traveled to Belfast to do research on cross-community organizing, did interviews with folks on both sides of the conflict. Mm-hmm. You created the documentary we heard last week on Indie Media On Air, and I know you're also working on some other projects about Northern Ireland. I'm curious, from an American perspective, what did you learn from being there that was kind of new to you or unexpected?
Well, I've been following the conflict and studying Northern Ireland and Irish history for a long time, and I cannot tell you how unprepared I was to find the level of sectarian division in Belfast. I've been throughout all of the north, all of Northern Ireland. But this last trip, I spent about 2 weeks in Belfast, and I stayed there. So I really got a feel for it and saw things that, as I said, I really was not prepared for. You think coming from L.A., a very diverse community, and we certainly have our lines that, you know, we know when we cross that things may change and the culture may be a little different. But here, literally, there are many people from either community who will not step foot into the other's community. There are what are called peace walls, which is a very interesting term. The locals there have come to call them interfaces. And these walls, the longest being in Belfast, runs about 4 miles long, and it serves to separate the Protestant community from the Catholic community. And
you're saying this is a physical wall,
yeah,
like in the middle of a street?
Yeah, it's tremendous. It's just, it's about 25 feet tall, and it's,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's big.
It's big, and it's long, and it intersects. I mean, it's very, it's very complicated. I mean, it's really, you can tell it means business. And even the whole city, people were explaining to me how the highway, the interstate, if you will, was designed specifically to separate the communities. I mean, a lot of thought has gone into keeping these two communities apart. What I found really sad about that, the whole peace wall idea, of course, is something that we can really not imagine. But this interface actually can bring conflict to it, because when things, a lot of it was, if there's rumors going through one community about an action that another, that the other side might be taking, they'll go to the wall and they'll actually, you know, this will bring about conflict where children will start throwing stones over. Sometimes there's, incendiary devices that will be thrown from one side to the other. So these activists that I met with from both sides, from both communities, both Catholic and Protestant, are working to try to keep peace on these interfaces, and not only daily keeping peace, but building relationships so that, you know, as Roy was referring to, this new idea of this new society where, you know, people see themselves as all being from Belfast as opposed to being, you know, so separate from their little communities. And what else really struck me was that communities can be very tiny over there. Now, we're not used to this here. You know, along these interfaces, this four-mile-long wall, they will speak of 27 different communities. You're talking about a couple of blocks per, you know, community. So the even within the communities, the folks find themselves or feel divided, and that's something that these activists are trying to change.
Great. We're going to come back in just a minute and continue this discussion about the peace walls and cross-community organizing in Northern Ireland, and about the exciting news of what's happened there today and what we expect to happen about 6 weeks from now. You're listening to Indie Media On Air on KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and we will be back in just a bit.
KPFK is so grateful to all of our supporters who donated their cars and other vehicles in 2006. But we still want more of your vehicle donations, which help us to continue to provide the quality programming you've come to expect. And now, you can donate your vehicle online at kpfk.org. Yep, that's right. Vehicle donation is another way for you to help keep KPFK's independent voices on the airwaves. Donating is easy. We'll take all of your information, pick up the vehicle wherever it's located, and send you the follow-up paperwork, including any IRS documents. All you have to do is call us now at 877-573-5288 or donate online at kpfk.org. Again, that's 877-573-5288. And thank you so much for your continuing support.